very good morning, everyone. Good morning. Right. Yeah, it's nice to hear that, alright? Yeah. And I hope that by now you'll realize or you'll notice that God is really doing something, alright, great in our church. God is doing many things in our church. Lives were transformed. Life will touch. You know, just about a few weeks ago, I have friends who came to me and say, "Bro, do you know or not? Kuz is very happening or not?" They are not a member of this church anyway. "Say, bro, do you know that Kuz is very happening?" I say, "Happening about what?" "I do not know, but something is happening in this church." And say, "I agree with you. I also don't know what it is, but something is happening in this church, right?" And I believe it's the presence of God in this church, right? Amen. Yeah. Hey, you want to give the Lord a clear offering, we give, okay? Yeah, that's the way. Yeah. And I really believe God is doing something great in this church. You know, revival can come in two forms, and one of the ways is maybe through stadiums, where we invited a lot of people to a great speaker, and then after that they responded to the speaker, and they walked down from the stadium, and then they give their life to Jesus Christ. So that's one way of how we can see about revival. But there's another kind of revival, I think it's more pleasing to God. When people come to know Jesus, when lives have been transformed through the touch of the community. People like you and me. And I think that, you know, that lives that have been touched through the community is more pleasing to God because it shows one thing. It shows that the community loves Jesus. It shows that you love Jesus and you believe in Him and you want to honor Him. So it is through your love for God that you touch these people, and that is why that such a revival is more pleasing to God. So I want to encourage you that, you know, my friends, brothers and sisters, in case you do not know, you have been an encouragement to me. My life has been impact through you. And I want to thank all of you for your every word of encouragement and support. Alright, that's a way of doing things, you know, that bro and sis, you are my bro and you're my sis, alright? Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're my bro and you're my sis," okay? Yeah? A couple came to church for the last 2 weeks. And they came to church because of Alpha. So Pastor Sandra brought them to see me yesterday. And we had a talk about their marriage. Now what is interesting about this couple is that one of them is a Christian. The other one is not a Christian yet. So the guy, he's already a Christian, but he left church for a long time. But because of Alpha, he began to come back. So while he come and join us for the Alpha, he brought his girlfriend along with him. So we talked for a while, and I tried to understand where she's standing, and then just to assure her, alright, this place, Kuz, is a nice place to be in, so don't feel pressurized that you must become a Christian today. I said, be cool, alright? Just enjoy our relationship, enjoy the community. So after the service, the couple went out, and then I saw some of us, some of our members were there talking to them, you know, and I tried to help them to feel at home and comfortable, and you know what? After that fellowship, alright, I think in the evening, Pastor Sandra sent a message to me. He said, "Pastor Joe, I have a good news for you. You know that lady came with her her Christian boyfriend. That lady accepted Christ that day." Praise God for that, isn't it? God is doing a great thing in our church. It's so amazing. Alright? And so I really want to encourage us to continue to do our best to care for one another, continue to build this church a caring community. And I also want to thank Pastor Daniel, our senior pastor, for inviting me, alright, to Church Our Savior. And it has been such a great privilege. It has been my joy to be able to work with him, my joy to serve with him. And there's one thing I discovered about our pastor over the 1 year working with him. And this is the one thing I realized that about him throughout this 1 year, that he really loved this church. He really loves you. And I could see that in him, that every one of us is so important to him that I just feel that a lot of times he just feel that he could do more, but there's a limit he can do. And I want to thank God for our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel. So I want to invite Pastor Daniel to stand. Shall we give him a round of applause? Is that okay? Pastor Daniel, this is the third time you're standing. Alright, let's give him a loud cheer. And Okay, for his hard work. But of course, okay, I can't do that tomorrow, yesterday, but I can do that today. You know, every successful man, there's always a very important woman behind. Isn't that true? We want to thank his wife, Eileen. Eileen, can you please stand? Alright, let's give a round of applause for her support. Thank God for the two of you, and really praise God for the two of you. And last but not least, alright guys, I want you to know that there's so much thing that's happening in this church, and there's so, you know, people have been blessed, and people have been feeling this place at home. I want us to know that all these are possible because we have Christ in our midst. Because we have Jesus is here with us. And I think that Jesus deserves the loudest, clear and praises from us. So let's give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know, a church member asked me a question a few days ago. I want to thank that sister for asking me that question. Because of that question, it made me think for a few days. And to the point that I couldn't even concentrate on my sermon. It was a very, very simple question. But I keep pondering about that question. And the question is this. She asked me, alright, you know, Pastor, what do you have in mind for your ministry? Do you have any plan for Church Our Savior? Now, of course, I have some plans, I have some thoughts at the back of my mind, but somehow I wasn't very satisfied with the answer. I sense God is like testing me. So I felt like Spider-Man, the latest movie, Far From Home. Alright? Seeking to find an answer from God. And that's the reason why my title for this morning is Far From God. But last week, when Pastor Daniel talked to us about staying on course, and after the sermon, I just felt that there is something that God wants to speak to me through His message. Somewhere in between, I think there is a message God wants me to know. So I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, what is it that you want me to stay on course? And then I was reminded of my reason of coming into full-time ministry 20 years ago. Okay. All right. So I was reminded of, at that point of time, why I come into full-time ministry. It was that with this desire to touch God's heart through touching life. You know, it was at time 20 years ago, I had this desire of wanting to touch God's heart. And the way to touch God's heart is through touching lives for Jesus. So that was the desire. And that was the one thing I think God is reminding me, stay on course. Stay on course and continue to do that. And I believe that that is important because I believe that no one is too far from God to reach. I believe that's important because no one is too insignificant and no action is too far or too small from God to use. And I believe that no heart is too hard or too far from the Holy Spirit to change. Last week, I had the opportunity to meet an ex-gangster for lunch. As you can see, on his hand are full of tattoos. If he's going to take out his shirt, alright, you will see, alright, like a painting like that. It's pictures everywhere, alright, but it's a different kind of message. If you go to the website, you might find the testimony about him. So I had an opportunity to meet him up for lunch. He was in prison for in and out for many years. And the last time was 7 years. And the reason why he's in prison, because he was involved in a gang fight, possessions of drugs, and he himself is a drug addict. So he was in and out of prison many times. So I asked him, you know, brother, how did you know about Jesus? Why did you give your life to Jesus? And so he said to me that, you know, bro, God sent a Christian counselor to me when he was in the prison. And this counselor helped him a lot. But interestingly, he told me, but I cannot remember his name. I can't remember his name. I think his church is somewhere around Bedok, but I can't remember which church he's attending. All he could remember was while he was still in prison, this counselor help him to take care of his wife. This counselor helped him to take care of his few months old son. This counselor find ways to help his wife and his son to visit him in the prison regularly. So he said, I was very touched by this counselor, and because of his work and his love, I saw Jesus, and I gave my life to Jesus because of this man. And today, he's serving actively as a volunteer for some Christian orphanage home in Bintam and Batam as well. And he's also a counselor, a volunteer counselor, that often that he will go back to the prisons to help the convicts in the prisons, and also to give some counsel to those the ex-convicts who just came out of prison. So his life was totally transformed and changed for Christ. And this is what he said to me before we left for our after our lunch, before we left. He said to me, only God's power can change his life. He said, my life was so bad, but only Christ alone and his love has the power to change me. But God does not just able to touch the lives of those in prison, like Ahai, the ex-convict. God is also able to change someone who is powerful and prideful and doing well in society. This man, his name is Naaman. But who is Naaman? Naaman, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, he says to us that Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Naaman has like a relative in our Asia. If you watch a Kung Fu fighting movie, if you remember, there's another name that's quite similar to him. It's called Ip Man. But I don't think they are related. It's a lame joke anyway, alright? So Naaman had power, he had position and prestige. He was successful, wealthy and respected. A hero among the Aram and in high favor with his king. And the reason is also because the Lord has given him the favor and by giving him victory in every war that he went. In fact, his name in Hebrew could mean lovely or pleasant. But he was not a believer. And one day, this lovely man or pleasant man, a man who is highly respected, was diagnosed with a terrible skin disease. It's called leprosy. And during those days, it was one of the most feared diseases. Why? Because it was incurable, it's contagious, and it can damage a person's physical appearance. So Naaman might have all the power, positions, and prestige he wanted. But all those things became less important as he stared into the mirror each day. Every morning as he looked into the mirror, it will remind him of a Chinese song. When he look at the mirror, he will remind him of this song that sings like, 我很丑,可是我很温柔. I'm ugly, but I'm gentle. So every morning when he look at the mirror, this is how he felt. Why? Because nobody would touch him. He was a lonely man because no one would able to touch him. While everyone respected him, no one could reach him. And the most painful part was, he had to stay far from his wife and all his loved ones. But there is a good news for us today. And the good news is, whether you are like Ahai, an ex-convict, or people like Naaman, who are successful, people of high position in the society, I have a good news for you today. Whether you are a believer or not a believer, you are a Christian or not a Christian, I want you to know this morning, no one is too far from God to reach. Just as God used a counselor to help Ahai, a young girl was sent to help Naaman. How? We saw this in verse 2 and 3. that says that now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So, when the army from Aram attacked Israel, one of the cities, they saw this young girl. They took this young girl back to Naaman. Naaman accepted her and made her serve his wife. And so one day, this little girl from Israel heard about Naaman's condition. And out of faith and kindness, she said to her mistress, "Ma'am, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." But why I say it is out of faith and kindness? As I mentioned earlier, we have no idea of what happened to her family. We don't even know her name. We don't even know her background. So we have no idea or any clues about her family, what happened to her parents, what happened to her sibling. We have no clue or anything about that, except the fact that Naaman was her enemy. Naaman destroyed her country. Naaman destroyed her family. Naaman might have killed her parents. Naaman was her enemy. She could have just, like many of us, when you see your enemy suffering, what do? Very good lah. You see? Huh? You attack my country, right? You hurt my parents, right? You see, God is punishing you right now. I'm going to pray for you that God will make it worse for you. She could have done that, right? Very good, huh? Every day pray. But the little girl refused to allow her bitterness and resentment to control her. She refused to dwell in unforgiveness. Instead, she chose to show her kindness. For whatever reason, might be her faith in God, might be her love for God, might be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, she chose to show kindness to Naaman by giving him hope, telling him, "Hey, don't lose hope. There is a prophet who can save you." And it is also an act of faith, and it's a bold move for her to do that. Why I say that, even for her to make that move, it's a courageous move, because what if Elisha failed to heal Naaman? Her life is at risk. Basically, when she suggests to the mistress that the prophet can heal Naaman, she is already putting her head on the chopping board. That if things does not happen to what she has said, Naaman might just come home and kill her. But somehow, we do not know why, but she has such a faith in God that she just believes that somehow God is able to heal Naaman through Elisha. So despite being exiled from home and forced to serve foreigners and even the risk of losing her life, this young servant girl, which you do not know even her name, she chose to show kindness for Naaman. Now, under such a normal circumstances, people like Naaman with such a success and position and wealth, now he would never listen to a girl like this servant girl. Why would he want to listen? Under the normal circumstances, he wouldn't even bother. But this time, we saw that Naaman, even willing to take any suggestion from this girl, because he was so desperate. He was so desperate of wanting to get healed, wanting to feel normal again. And he was so desperate that even it caused his face and pride, he doesn't care anymore. Even if it's from a small girl, he doesn't care anymore. Anything that can help me, I will do it. So in verse 4, It says to us that the Bible says to us, so Naaman went to his master, the king, and told him what the girl from Israel had said. And the king said, by all means, go. And the king is even prepared to send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10,000 of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing, with the letter by the king that says, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. And we know the reason why the king is so willing to write this letter on behalf of his general, because he loved this general, because this general is one of his favorite general. You know, I've seen so many times in my life, many times, that how God touched us the most when we are willing to humble ourselves before Him. So many times. I've never seen my dad so desperate for prayer until one day the doctor told him he might diagnose with stomach cancer. And so many times, I believe what's holding back from God and what is holding God back from helping us is our humility. Why? Because God often works through ordinary people like that little girl. So I want to share with you, my friends here, if you are coming here with a problem today, you are coming here with a trouble today, and you do not know what to do, I want to suggest to you to prayer. And prayer is important. But I want to suggest to you one more thing. Seek help from your friends. Seek help from others. Because very often, this is one way God helps us to find Him through one another. So if you are going through some difficult things today, don't let your pride hold you back from what God wants to do in your life. Humble yourself. Seek help from people. So God used the little girl to help Naaman. Vice versa, if God is willing to use the little girl to reach Naaman, He will use you to help others too. So as long as we are willing, as long as we are willing and avail ourselves to God, no one is too insignificant. No one is too unimportant. And no action is too far away from God to use. But the question for us this morning is this. Who and where is your Naaman? Where is your Naaman today? I want to share with you, the truth is, they are not far away from us, but very often we miss them. You know, the pictures are on the in the bottom, my left bottom. They are my friends, neighbors, in my condo. The one in the black shirt is my the manager, the one who maintains the buildings. And the one on his right, left, his name is Albert. The one in the middle, his name is Jess. He's a Christian. He came to know the Lord a few years ago. He was a heavy gambler. And by the grace of God, God touched him. His life was transformed. Albert was not a believer yet. But they are my friends. And we don't see each other every day, but we play badminton almost every week. And so, sometimes I'm neighbor to them. Sometimes I'm like a little servant to them. Sometimes they are the neighbor to me. Sometimes they are my little servant God sends to help me. The picture on top are the staff from the Church of Savior. You can see Pastor Daniel. They'll be good. He's somewhere in the middle. Alright? Wearing a gray shirt. And this is our staff. We are retreat early of this year. And so within the staff team, sometimes in the staff, alright, I'm like the neighbor to them. I seek help from them. I go to them and ask for help. Sometimes I'm like that little girl. God asks me and sends me to help someone. So we help one another. They are not far away from me. And also, how about the migrant worker that we see on the picture? Those who help us to clean the church week after week. Those who wash our toilets. We went to the toilet. We do our business. We come out. So who take care of a toilet after that? the food that we eat in the atrium, we throw our food in the rubbish, who clean for us after that? Who clean this hall after the service? They are the one. They are the one who work for us, serve us behind our back every weekend, sometimes over the weekdays as well. How about all the buildings that we had in Singapore today? You know, we are so proud that we built our nation. We look at our buildings, the structures, and we are so proud of what God has done for us. But how many of us know that the man behind all those buildings? It's not you, it's not me. Who are the people who build all the buildings? They are the migrant worker. They are the people God sent from other countries. They left their family because of financial burden. They had to leave their country. They came to Singapore and built this home for us. And sometimes it's so easy for us to forget about them. And they are right here in our midst. They are the Naaman God sends to us today. So in case you do not know their name, the one on my far left is Durai, the one beside him is Prem, and then we have Party, not the party, okay, but Party, Rani, and we have Venti, right? Sorry. I cannot see her name. Vani, thank you for that, right? And then we can see Kasuri, right? Kasuri is a lady in red. She's a supervisor here. And so, they are Naaman God sent to us. So I just like us to do one thing for me after the service. If you see them around us, can you please go to them and say thank you? Can you go to them and bless them? If you see them later on, can you go and encourage them? And show to them how much you appreciate of the work they have done for us. They are the Naaman God sent into our community. So that through this community, through our love for them, they might meet Jesus and encounter the love of God through you and me. So after the service, do me a favor, go out to them and show your kindness. Is that alright? Is that okay? Alright, that's great. Thank you so much. I received a video from a friend a few months ago about an accident happened in China. And this video was captured by CCTV, right, in one of the water theme park in China, and it's in the swimming pool. And so the swimming pool was very crowded. There are many people in the swimming pool. I saw families, I saw friends, young and old, and they were all enjoying themselves. So as I look at the video, right in the middle of all the crowd, I saw this young boy was splashing water. So I thought the boy was enjoying himself. So as I looked closely, I realized one thing. This boy was not splashing water because he enjoyed himself. This boy was calling for help. He was drowning. And you know what's the ironic thing? There were so many people around them, and yet none of them noticed about this boy calling for help until this boy floated on the water, stopped moving, and died. The same incident like this can happen to any one of us this morning. Sometimes someone near is calling for help, but we are not able to be there to reach out to them because we are not aware. Is it because we have no compassion? Is it because we have no kindness? I believe it is more than just that. I think most of the time it's not because of the lack of compassion or kindness. In most situations like this, most of the time, it could be because we are so focused too much on building our own life, building our own work, that we lost the awareness of what is happening around us. How about stressful and hurried society like Singapore? How about our pain, past pain? How about our hurt, our anger, our unforgiveness? How about even our personality? All those things potentially can become our blind spots. So very often we miss our Naaman in life. It's not so much because of the lack of compassion and kindness, but it is about our priorities in life. It is about our awareness. And most of the time, it is because we are not intentional enough to do something for them. I think by now, we all should know that our pastor, Daniel Wee, is an introvert. Are you aware of that? Okay, only one. The rest of us think he's an extrovert. Are you sure? Or maybe on stage, you feel that he's an extrovert. Because the way that he preach, the way they engage you, he seems an extrovert. But in reality, alright, the truth is, he is a super introvert. Alright? He is very, very introvert, okay? And I want to reveal a secret to you. He has a favorite spot for lunch, in case you do not know. But I'm telling you now, please don't go there and look out for him, alright? The staff will know. His favorite spot for lunch is at the McDonald's nearby our church. The Queenstown McDonald's, the Queensway, right? Now that was his favorite spot for lunch. And he loves to be alone, enjoying his lunch, his McDonald's, and one more thing. If you realize how come the fish in the pond is so big and fat, it is because besides eating his own lunch, he will throw his French fries to the fish. So if you realize, if you found out that the fish got high cholesterol, high blood pressure, you know who made it, right? Okay, please don't go to the McDonald's, alright? Let him have his own space, okay? I know that because happened I was there for lunch, okay? I saw him, yeah. But in church, you will see a different him. In church, you will see that he will try to interact with many of us. He will try to talk to you. And if anyone approach him, you will see that hardly he will reject any one of us. Sometimes at the atrium, he will go around and try to smile. Alright, introvert doesn't like to smile. But he will force himself to smile. And the reason why he is doing that, I think first of all, because he's aware of his personality. He knows that he's an introvert. So if he wants to connect to people, he has to force himself out of their comfort zone and try to behave like an extrovert. So he will force himself to come out of the comfort zone and try to connect with people. But even though that was not something he's comfortable with, but because he wants to care for you, he wants to care for the people that's under his care, he's willing to come out of his comfort zone and do something that's unnatural. And he has to do it very intentional about it. And so likewise, I think that for many of us, the issue is not because of compassion and kindness. I think many of us, the issue is more on the, are we aware of what is going on around the people that God has put around us? Are we aware of what's going on to them? Or are we so focused in doing our own life that we lose the awareness? And when God sends someone to you like Naaman or like Ahai, what will you do about it? Will you change yourself so that you can reach out to them? Will you change yourself so that you can care for them? So Ahai and Naaman had the chance to change because someone was aware. Someone knew about them. And most importantly, they decided to do something for them. The question for us this morning, my friends, is not where Naaman is, because they are everywhere, but where are you today? Where are you today? And what will you do about it if God sent a man like Ahai and Naaman to you? Will you choose to be like the little girl, or will you react like the king of Israel? So how did the king of Israel react when he received Naaman? In verse 7, it says to us, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "And my God, can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." So when Naaman was sent to Israel, the king of Israel blamed God. He blamed God for bringing Naaman into his life. He's blaming God and Naaman and other people. Why give me so much trouble? Am I not busy enough? Am I not busy enough? You know, don't I have too much work? Why at this time you send someone like Naaman into my life? How am I going to help him? He's saying to God, why make my life so difficult? But we can understand why that the king has such an anxiety. We can understand why the king has such a reaction. Because as I mentioned earlier, leprosy in those days are incurable. But the king of Israel made a big mistake. The big mistake that the king made was that he thought that he was the one who was supposed to heal Naaman. In other words, he took the responsibility upon himself. He felt that he had to be the one to save Naaman. But actually, what God really wants is to ask the king of Israel to point Naaman to Elisha. That's all what God needs the king of Israel to do, is to point Naaman to Elisha. God is the one that is going to heal him. But the king of Israel took the responsibility upon himself. And then he began to feel stressful. He began to complain and grumble. I want to encourage us, my friends, when God sends someone like Naaman, when God sends someone like Ahai into your life, a situation that's difficult, a situation going to make you move out of your comfort zone, someone who is beyond cure, I want to say to you this afternoon, first of all, don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful when God sends someone like them into your life. I want to encourage you, ai zai. Turn to your neighbor and say, ai zai. Okay? Ai zai means be steady. Be steady. Why? Remember, you are not expected to heal them. That is God's responsibility. God will heal them. Our responsibility is to provide care. Our responsibility is to be to give them a listening ear. Our responsibility is to pray for them, to walk with them, and to love them. And to do our best that every opportunity that we try to point them to Jesus. Because it is only in Jesus that they will find the hope they have been searching for. So, when Elisha heard about that, his response was very different from the king of Israel. When Elisha, the man of God, heard about the king of Israel, had torn his robe, he sent his servant to the king with this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So, Prophet Elisha said to the king, let this man come to me. So that what? So that he will know there is a God in Israel who can heal him. So the king of Israel see Naaman as God giving him problem. But Elisha, a man of faith, see this as an opportunity for God to reveal his glory. So when Naaman heard about Elijah's invitation in verse 19 to 13, the Bible said to us, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come up to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. His servant went to him and said, Father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So Naaman was expecting Elisha to come out and welcome him. You know, he's such a man of pride and success. So he thought Elisha should come out and welcome me and say hi to me. Oh, my master, welcome to my place, my humble house. What can I do for you? Instead, Elisha, instead of coming out to welcome him, he sent a messenger to tell Naaman what to do. Now to him, to Naaman, this is a double blow. It's a double insult to him. So he was so angry with Elisha, he said to his servant, "Let's go. I'm not going to go through and get cured today." But Elisha was no fear of man. He did what God asked him to do. So while Naaman was about to go, thank God for a servant that he had that managed to persuade him to obey Elisha and go through and receive the healing. You know, as I read this, I thought sometimes it's so important in our life, we need to look for friends who look past our job title, who look past our bank accounts, our house, and friends who really love us enough and were willing to tell us the truth and lead us to do what God wants us to do. So I want to encourage you, pray for friends like that who will care for you sincerely, who care for you without string attached. And so after that, after Naaman listened to the servant, the Bible said to us, Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God Elisha, and he stood before him and said, "Now I know there's a God in all the world. There's no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." Now you might wonder, why Elisha refused to meet him? Why 7 times, not 1 time? Why need the 7 times? Can't God just heal Naaman with just 1 dip? Why 7 times? Now I believe that Elisha chose not to meet Naaman. I believe that the reason behind it, because he wanted Naaman to know it is God's word. It is God and his word who had healed him, not the water or himself. And well, just imagine, maybe while Naaman was going in and out of the water, maybe Elisha was praying for him in the room. You never know. But why 7 times? Why not 1 time, 2 times? Well, why 7 times? Because 7 in the Bible means wholeness. It means complete. In other words, God does not just want to heal him physically. He is giving him a new life. God wants to heal Naaman from inside out, helping him to receive a new life in God. And we saw that through the testimony of Naaman, that Naaman was a changed man. He was a new person in God. He was arrogant, but now he humbled himself before the man of God and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel." And listen to this. "So please accept a gift from your servant." Not your commander, not your general, from your servant. And with this, we can see very clearly that Naaman was now a new creation. Someone said, Naaman went from a sick man to a healed man, an ungodly man to godly man, lost man to a safe man, a great man to a gracious man, and from a commander of man to a servant. I want to say to us this afternoon, whatever situation you are in, I want us to know that no heart is too far from God to change. Naaman came with gold and silver. He came with his pride, success and title, thinking that with all these things that he's carrying along with him, maybe they are good enough to exchange something from God. Maybe good enough to ask God to heal him with all the material things that he had brought along, and the wagon and the people. But when he was there, to his surprise, that God did not want any of this thing. God did not want any of these material things except his faith and obedient. And how did God change Naaman from inside out? What happened? How that process changed Naaman? I believe it is through the grace and the love and the mercy of God. I believe, maybe this is just my imagination, and I believe that each time when Naaman dipped in and out of water, God opened his eyes. Every time he went in and out, God reminded him of how he had attacked his people. Each time he go in and out, God reminded him that how many families that he has killed. Each time they went in and out, and God opened his eyes and reminded him of the land that he destroyed. He went in and out, and God showed to him how arrogant and prideful you are. He went in and out and realized that he was not in position to ask God for anything at all. After coming out, he realized that he was actually not even the position to ask God for anything, even for the healing, except seeking for God's forgiveness. But God loves Naaman. God did not just forgive his sin. God healed him and gave him a new life. And so I'm very certain and I'm very sure after this encounter with God, Naaman will return to his home no longer the same man anymore. He will treat God's people differently. He will treat the servant girl with kindness. And he will serve God and worship Him only. So what do we learn today? The stories about the little girl, Elisha, and Naaman. How do we touch God's heart through touching lives? It is interesting for me to see how God used the little girl and his prophets to reach Naaman. The girl worked through her relationship with her mistress. So it is through her relationship with her mistress they send a message to Naaman. And I saw how God used prophet Elisha through prayer and proclaiming of his word. I learned from here that it takes both relationship and God's word to change a person. The whole gospel that we are preaching must involve more than just about proclaiming the word of God. It must involve both preaching the word of God and caring for each other. That's like our church. Some of us are very strong in relationship. Some of us are very strong in sharing the word of God. Some of us are very strong in prayer. You are intercessor. But we must stand together and work as a team. We must stand together to work as a team and build this community with care and love. As we learn to work together as one community, we have more capacity to care for more peoples. Secondly, God used the girl's kindness and prophet Elisha's obedience to reach Naaman. But both of them had one thing in common. They were aware and they did something about it. Caring has to be intentional. And the best is to care without string attached. It's to care sincerely. We don't care because there's something we can get in return. We don't care because we feel that the person might be a greater people in future. We care because each one of us here, you and me, the one that's sitting beside you, the one that's sitting in front of you, and the one that's sitting behind you, we are all created in the image of God. So it doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, how far you, where you are from, even they are the migrant foreign worker that come from very far, they are all created in the image of God. And that's how God loves each one of us. It's not according to our background. It's not according to our status. He loves us because we belong to Him. We are created in His image. So we care sincerely. and care must be done intentionally. Finally, God gave Israel to Naaman or to Aram. Why God gave Israel to Naaman or to Aram? Because she had sinned against God. Israel had disobeyed God again and again. But in return, God saved Naaman, so that through Naaman, God might show His kindness to Israel when He sent Naaman back. Israel and Naaman had one thing in common. They were unfaithful. They were arrogant. They feared God again, again, and again. But while they were still far from home, God reached out His hand to them, saved them, washed them, blessed them. One day my son asked me a question. He said, "Pa, why must you always help my friend? Why must you always help his teammate in badminton in training?" Because I train my sons quite regularly. So he asked me, why must you help my friend? You should just focus on me, you know. Of course, I say, I always focus on you, right? Because when his friend come, I will invite them to join me. When they ask me, you know, "Uncle, can you teach me?" I'll offer my help without charge, free of charge. And sometimes, even after training, I will offer to buy drinks for them. And so my son, why you want to be so nice to them? So I told my son this story. I said to him, it is because when I was a young boy, my family was very poor. My parents were not very rich, so they couldn't afford to find me a coach. But I thank God that I found this group of uncles who are willing to help me, accepted me, and allow me to train with them. And I have some very good coaches, ex-national players, who are willing to train me for free. And so they allow me to train with them. I don't even have money to buy a racket. But it's through someone else I got my first racket. So they help me, they bring me along, and sometimes we'll go out for makan, and sometimes they know I got no money to eat. They will pay for me. They offer to pay for me. And I didn't do very well for my O-level, so I had to go to a private school, and the school fee wasn't very cheap. It was expensive. And so that this businessman, I don't really know him, he knew about the situation. He doesn't want my finance to become a burden or hinder me from my training. So he said to my coach, he said to him, "Tell this boy I will sponsor his school fees." And that really helped my parents a lot and helped me to be able to continue my training. And I remember them. And how I make it to the team is them. Without them, I won't be able to play for the countries. And they are the people, unknown. I don't remember their names right now. But they are the people, the little things they have done for me to help me to be successful as a player. And I keep this thing closely in my heart, in case one day I forget where I was before. I'm sharing this story with us because spiritually we are not far away from Naaman. We were like Naaman before. We were poor, broken, spiritually. We call God for help. And we know that there's nothing we can offer to God but accept for His forgiveness. And yet God did not just save us from our sin. He washed us. He cleansed us. He loved us with all He can. Guide us, lead us, bless us in many ways. And many of us, we are so blessed today. It is because of what Christ has done for us. And it's also because along the way, God sent people in our lives. Many of them, we don't even remember their names, but they are sent by God to care for us, to help us to be where we are today. We are blessed because someone has blessed us. So it is for this reason we must continue to share the love of God with others. But to care freely, we must first experience our forgiveness in Christ. We must remember what God has done for us. We must remember where we are, where we were before. As you remember what God has done for you and where we were, where you were before, you will know how to care for others. And we must learn also to forgive in faith, because there are some people, they need more time to receive the healing from God. So my friends, today, as before we close, who is your Ahai? Who is your Naaman today? If God bring them into your life, what are you going to do about it? The first thing I want to share to you, don't stress up. Don't be too stressed up like the king of Israel. Aizai, steady. God is not expecting you to change them. This is God's job. But our job is to allow God to use our care, our love, our prayer, our hands, and our faith in Jesus to touch them. And this is something we all can do. The impossible things, God will settle it. But the possible things, we must be willing to rise up and respond to the call. Maybe there are some of us this morning, you are in the same situation as Naaman or Ahai. You are in a situation, you come to church with heavy burden and you're wondering, can God really help me? Can God change my life? Can God do what He has done for Naaman and Ahai, the same thing that for them in my life? I want to encourage you, my friend, this morning, if God can change Ahai, if God can change Naaman, there's no giant that's too big. There's no Ahai that's too big. There's no Naaman that's so great than the power of God's love in your life. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What God needs from you this afternoon is not your gold or silver, but your faith and obedience. So may I invite us to stand. Come to a close. Father, we want to come before you, Lord. We want to thank you, first of all, that each one of us here this afternoon is because of your grace. Your grace, your love, and the people around us. How you use them to touch our lives. And today, Lord, we are blessed because of your love and a care for others. And I pray, Lord, that for us today who are blessed, help us not to hold back our love for others. But I pray for them, Lord, and myself included, that you empower us to love one another, to care sincerely for one another. Not just within the church, but wherever we go, we want to bring the love of God along with us. Even, Lord, we are facing with Naaman, Ahai in our life today, Lord, help us to have faith and to know that this is an opportunity for God, for you to reveal your glory. Help us to remember, Lord, the impossible things you will take care, but the possible things, Lord, we can do, we want to do it for your glory. And last but not least, I pray for those who come to church today with a heavy burden. Can God change my life? I pray, Father, today, would you stir their faith? As they hear the story of Ahai and Naaman, Lord, would you stir their faith, their hope in you, and to know that God, that in you, you have the power to change them. Lord, wherever they are, wherever they are, and whoever they are right now, Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, empower them. Lift up their faith and set their eyes upon you, and to know there is always hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, they will not leave this place with the same feeling as how they come in, with a burden and there's anxieties, but they will leave this place with joy, with hope, because today they find their hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that in God there is always hope. Hallelujah. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Every giant will fall, the mountains will move, every chain of the past be broken into all the fear of the lies. We're singing the truth that nothing is. friends, I want us to know that God is really doing something great in this church. All the impossible things, God will take care of them. But the possible things we can do, we want to do it. And that is, we want to build a caring community. As we learn to care for one another, God will increase our capacity to care for more people outside of this church. And by doing that, we'll know that God's name will be glorified. Amen. Amen. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your words this afternoon. Empower us, Lord, with your love. Help us to love one another like how you have loved us. Build this church a caring community. And the way we care for one another, Father, I pray that as we obey and humble ourselves, Lord, use that love to touch more lives. Use that care to bring more people in the kingdom of God. Through the care for one another, Father, we pray that more and more people will come to know you and glorify your name in heaven. So send us out, Lord, in the power of your love, in your grace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. See you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.